You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
On a warm August night in 1955, an unsuspecting family found themselves thrust into a confrontation with the inexplicable. In a rural town nestled within the heartland of Kentucky, on that fateful evening, as the sun sank beneath the horizon, the Barker clan sought refuge within the confines of their humble farmhouse. What began as a tranquil gathering of family and friends soon descended into a surreal nightmare, defying the boundaries of the rational world they once knew. As the clock struck midnight, the Barker family's peace was shattered by a series of eerie metallic sounds echoing through the countryside. Emerging from the shadows of the surrounding woods were otherworldly creatures, aliens in all their grotesque glory. Their silver bodies glistened under the faint moonlight, their eyes burning like fiery orbs. What ensued that night was a harrowing clash between humans and the extraterrestrial, as bullets ricocheted off their strange metallic skins, and the Barker family, gripped by terror, fought tooth and nail against these unearthly intruders. This case file joined the theorists as they go out guns a-blazing while discussing the Kelly Hopkinsville encounter.
Well, now, welcome on out, Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 277, Kelly Hopkinsville, UFO encounter. We're talking about a little green man all running around Kelly.
I'm Braden.
I'm sorry.
Was that,
is that,
okay. Is that
that's
it?
What I'm going with. That's what I'm going with.
Okay.
All right.
I'm Dan.
And that's Andrew. All stunned by Braden's first attempt.
Well, I didn't even know Braden was here.
Kentucky accent.
I thought somebody else was taking his place.
Yeah.
You thought
we got a resident Kentucky expert in here.
Yeah.
Okay, first off, for the show, we should have done it in the last power hour, but I mean, whatever. Happy belated, because your birthday technically was it. So it was on the 9th. So technically, we never missed your birthday on the show, but this is
we didn't record
birthday.
During the show. Yeah. During my birthday.
During your birthday. We could have done it on the power hour, but we forgot. So
birthday wishes round up to the next recording.
Yes. And you know, as they do, the ATI has sent a little Zelle message.
Wait, a Zellegram.
Zellegram.
Whoops.
And it wasn't a message, it was just a straight virus, and your computer is compromised.
Yeah, it can't be any compromised, and it is already. All right, let's play this. Let's see what we got here.
Nice. The following announcement has been paid for by Alien Theorist Illuminati.
Hey, Stokey J, drummer from Fat Man.
Nice hat.
There's our guitarist from Couple Monkeys. Very happy birthday from one musician to another. Keep rocking on, brother.
Have a fantastic day.
Happy birthday, Zell. I figured it was time I give you a joke as well for your birthday. And it's a dad joke. So,
perfect.
You know, nice.
Feel free to use it. I know I'm not a dad. I am a faux call. But here's a joke. What do you call a horny square?
What?
A rectangle.
I get it.
Yes. Anyways, happy birthday. Thank you for putting an excellent podcast together. You and the guys are great. And
Hey, keep them out of this.
You know, I listen to it all the time.
This is about me.
This is my day.
We need to know where something is. So I seem to be the one everyone asks because I know. So anyways, I just wanted to say happy birthday and I hope you have a wonderful day. Enjoy it. Bye.
Oh, good tune.
Some of us have to go to work every day. Just want to wish Zelly a happy 1569th birthday.
Pretty close.
That adds up.
Happy birthday, brother. I hope you have a good one.
Yeah.
Hello, Zell. Silver Lotus here. Just want to wish you a very happy birthday. I hope you have a great day. And try not to eat too many of those candy bananas.
Too late.
You don't want to have an upset stomach on your
birthday. Too late.
Hey, happy birthday, Zell.
Oh, yeah, Duster.
Chris from Denver. Hey, man, I hope you have a great birthday with your family, your friends. I hope you get some good food, some candy bananas. You know,
was he in the laundry room?
Meteorite, whatever. Hey, man, you're doing an amazing job making the show what it is. You keep it up and running pretty well. You've got some awesome ideas, man. You deserve all the good things that come your way. Have a good one, brother.
You survived Jack the Dipper.
That's good. Keep up the good work with the show. Keep those episodes coming and crack the whip on those boys.
Yeah, fuck these guys. Fuck them up.
Fun with the new family. Same with the rest of the boys. Good luck.
Hey, Zell. Happy birthday. Why was your happy birthday? I love you.
It's perfect.
Hey, Zell. Hillbilly here. I just want to take some time out of my birthday to wish you a happy birthday. Thank you for doing everything you do for us.
Double birthday, podcast, double birthday
make
inception.
Awesome music and just be an all around cool fucking dude. Here's to you, buddy.
Nice
happy
shot.
Birthday.
Nice.
Drink to that.
What's up, Zeltron? It is Brendan, the Burmeester, Meme King himself, and Phoenix.
Phoenix.
We're here to wish you a happy birthday. We hope you have a great one. Hope you have a good time being 5,006 this year.
It's pretty close.
Keep those eyes on the skies and keep the blood in your veins, brother. Peace out.
No.
Was it Gangrel?
Oh!
Is it Gangrel?
It is.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on, Zell? Vampire warrior. So vampires, vampires. I wish you a happy birthday from your brood, Zell's brood, my brood, your brood, my brood.
Our brood.
Wishing Zell, the vampire, happy birthday. When I hear you're a vampire of a lot of trades. You got a podcast, you're a carpenter, yada, 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 musician, so on, bro. Anyways, wishing you a happy birthday. Hope it's banging and banging. Want something?
Banging and banging. I'm stealing.
Hi, Zell. This is Liam Hong from American Idol. And want to wish you a happy birthday.
Do the dance.
I heard you are a great musician, carpenter, and podcast host.
This guy's
so
awesome.
Never give up on your dreams. Here Amazing. Is a song for you. She bangs. Oh, baby, when she moves. I go crazy because she
Amazing.
Moves like a flower, but she's there like a bee.
Every Talented girl individual.
In history.
Killed it.
Hey! Oh.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing? Al here.
What's up, Weird Al?
I know you're super busy. You got a lot going on. I really hate to bother you, but...
Oh, this is like the Shatner one.
Well, there's something I've been meaning to tell you, and I'm afraid it just can't wait any longer.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ryan. Happy birthday to you. Hey, it's your birthday. Gotta be your birthday. You know what I was told? You're really freaking old.
Hey, it's your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
it's your birthday.
Hey, it's your birthday.
There's too much going on in this video for my internet. My computer.
It's taking it over.
Can't handle it. Can't handle all the ow.
Woo.
Nice.
Someone pop out of the cake.
Light up shirt.
That was dope.
That was a legend.
I forgot about Gangrel.
Oh, I knew it right away.
I Buddy forgot about it. Banging, like, banging, banging and banging. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Who was the guy in the middle?
William Hung from American Idol?
He was that guy who went on American Idol and sang that song. It was so bad.
Bangs,
and then just
bangs,
it was some internet became viral thing.
Yeah, he released his own CD of covers of just him singing
terribly.
Like that.
And they were all good. Yeah. Bangers.
They were bangers.
Nice. Oh, that was awesome. Thank you, everyone. That was fun. That was awesome. Banging and banging.
Banging and banging. That's banging. Good. I'm going to make that a t-shirt for you.
That's my new podcast. It's my solo show.
Solo show. Sales. He just had vampire guests talking about
that's
vamp
it.
Life.
Yeah.
Banging and banging. It's your weird. It's your. Sounds like some weird fucking
banging
sex
and banging.
Cult.
It sounds slightly sexual.
Vampire swinger life.
Gangrel.
Co-host Gangrel.
With your brood and his brood.
Banging and banging.
That was awesome. And his brood.
Vampire sex cult.
That's good stuff.
So this week we are talking the Kelly Hapskinville UFO encounter.
Is that Burt Bland?
That just came up. So I laughed.
Slam brand.
You slamming some Bud Lights?
I'm slamming some Dino Sours. That'll happen. Now, if you're thinking like, hey, this case kind of sounds familiar. Well, it did to us too. And that's because we've discussed it briefly before on another podcast. I think the Ron Pond podcast, UFO encounters.
Way back
several times. I used it in an intro. It wasn't an intro too.
Yeah.
Describe some of the events in an intro. So it's,
yeah, it's
popped up more than this, but we've never done
and
a
I
full
think,
case
I think
file,
I've
which
read,
I thought was really weird.
Yeah, I think I've read it in on a UFO case file of the week. I think I've read it. It was, but it wasn't called the Kentucky. Like, I think famously it's called the Kelly Hopkinsville UFO encounter. Sometimes it's like the Hopkinsville green little men, green gnomes, Billy Ray Taylor and the silver monsters.
Gremlins. Something like gremlins.
I've heard them. Yeah. That's what I've heard them called goblins more than I've heard anything
else. Goblins.
So
yeah.
I don't understand how they're not called the hop goblins.
Oh,
fucking perfect. Right.
Hops goblins.
Hobgoblins. Hobgoblin, hobgoblins.
That's great. I don't know why. They're really missing out on a huge branding opportunity.
Man, we are coming across some banging names for shows here.
Yeah, I know.
Band, the Hobgoblins. It's got a metal funk band.
I feel that'd like that feels a little ska to me.
Well, maybe it could be ska. Thrown, right? Yeah.
Yeah, this is one that we've talked about. Like, it always comes up because these Kelly Hopkinsville goblins or gremlins or whatever, like, they usually come up as like a usually standard cryptid because they are super creepy looking, and they use the artwork and from the descriptions that are always put in there in tons of UFO encounters, or usually when they talk about close encounters of the third kind, because that is exactly what this is.
Also it's like it's let's call it what it is. This is Kentucky's Roswell.
Has to be.
Right? Kentucky Roswell, without a doubt.
Yeah. yeah, you could say that. So this specific series of events occurred in 1955 in what we've already mentioned, Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Let's be specific because, yes, I think Hopkinsville gets a lot of credit, but this really happened in Kelly, which is just a little ways out from Hopkinsville. But I think it's because Kelly is like, let's call it what it is, a buttfuck town in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah, it's just a tiny little smattering of houses.
I watched on a documentary talking about this, and he's from there, and he's like, well, this narrator was 5 years old when this happened, and Kelly's got restaurants, a couple private residences, a grocery store. And mainly it's smack dab in the middle of the railroad from Chicago to Jacksonville, line of the Louisville-Nashville Railroad, or as the hobos like to call it, the long and the dirty.
It's
Sounds like a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah, I was like, who the fuck? I was like, thanks for all that background information. Now tell me about the fucking aliens. I don't care about the long and dirty.
Well, I mean, it's not.
Actually,
it's not,
wait a minute. Now I do.
We want that as well. But it's not that. I mean, it's a small town. It's like 30,000 people now. So back then, maybe half.
Yeah, 1950. Yeah.
Couple five. One bar, maybe two bars. Couple gas stations.
But it's like an adjoining community. Like it's not like a driveway.
There's Hopkinsville and then there's Kelly, which is just like another, it's like a collection of houses.
Yeah, I think they border each other. So it's not a long drive from Kelly into Hopkinsville at all. It's like, it's one of those ones where if you didn't know you came into that town, you'd probably think it was one area. That's why they call Hopkinsville. So shout out to the residents of Kelly. We got to give credit where credit's due.
So out in Kelly, you had it.
Team Kelly.
I give it another 3 months and it's going to be West Hopkinsville. So in Kelly, you had a large extended family that were known as the Suttons who lived there. And they lived in a little unpainted three-room house. Didn't have running water, no telephone, no radio, TV, or books nothing, or anything, man. Really. No nothing.
It's basically a fucking barn they lived
in. Like super rural out there. Now, the house was rented by a Mrs. Glennie Lankford, and then along with her three grown sons, their wives, their friend, Billy Ray Taylor, who was from Pennsylvania at the time, and they also had several children who were all there for a family supper.
Yeah, Tracy, Debbie, Laura. Night. They had Ricky, Robert, Terry, Just Dawn, Gary, all of them.
So all of them, so you had Elmer Lucky Sutton, who was in his early 20s, and he was there visiting his mom, Glennie Lankford,
Lucky really commits to a fucking nickname, and everyone calls him Lucky because he got Lucky tattooed on his hand, on his fingers. And I was like, all right, come on.
The guy won one game of poker one time. He's lucky.
I mean, no, he's also lucky because he scored a sweet job. He had a one-night
stand and turned out it wasn't with his cousin. He's like, oh, that's lucky.
Well, literally, you know, he's lucky because he scored a sweet job with a traveling carnival because that was his job.
I feel like that's a prerequisite. You have to have a hand tattoo if you're going to be a carny.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I think it's pretty standard.
So he's working at the equivalent of West Coast Amusements in 1955. Yeah,
he's in charge. He's manager of the ring toss.
I just seen a video just on this topic of one of those carnivals and the fucking like a zipper type ride just collapsed. You always hear it too when you're on those rides, like a couple clinks, like a bolt fell out. You're like,
Not really sure. You're like, there's some rust spots here. Should this be, should it be like that? Did this pass inspection?
You've been moving this around a lot. How much maintenance?
Yeah, it is.
You got Lucky smiling at you as he rips your ticket. And you're like, I don't know about this.
Is this three teeth?
I don't know. Yeah.
So around 7 p.m. is when things start to take a turn.
Dan, to interrupt again, but on the topic of carnies, like it's widely known, carnies are not
change the direction trusted, of this case file,
right? Not to be trusted at all, right? I would say like they're grifters. Everyone's like carny, you know what I mean? Carnies, but that's the vibe you give off, right? Like, is that kind of the general vibe of carnies, right? Sorry, carnies. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying that's the perception. I think that's my perception.
Itself, it's a derogatory term.
Yeah, right?
Carnies.
We'll trust.
Well, I remember like when somebody's a little bit creepy, you'd be like, yeah, little carny fingers, you know? Yeah.
But we'll trust these guys to set up the zipper properly, town to town. You know what I mean? I'm like, you're doing it to yourself. If you die on one of these.
Yeah, but when's the last time you were on a zipper? You were probably fucking like 17 and half cut and just not giving a fuck.
They have one mechanic that works on all those rides, but he takes his turn between rides. So he's got the timer right, which one he worked on that stop. So he doesn't have time for them all.
Oh, no way. It's not practical.
No, can't do it.
All right, let's get back to it.
So we have more stuff.
We got more carny talk.
I'm sure there'll be more coming.
You have more disparaging remarks about carnies. Wait,
where were you going with the carny trust all smell. Thing there? Is that where you're going with it?
Well, I was saying we trust them. I would say they're recognized to be like untrustworthy, like this, like you said, derogatory, but we'll trust them to put up these rides.
that's fair.
And do it properly. Okay. And then be like, yeah, here you go. Get on. What's the, what are those whirly ones where you spin? You always hear someone of spinning so fast it pops right off. Right?
Tilt-a-whirl.
Tilt-a-whirl. That's one.
That's why I said that.
I've been on that with no seatbelts where the G-forces were going so hard that I blacked out.
That's the fucking Gravitron.
That's the Gravitron.
Yeah, there's no seatbelts in the Gravitron. You just get sucked into the back.
Even the Tilt-a-whirls, though, because no one expects you to go that hard on them. Right? They're like, everyone's going to have a fun. You're turning the big wheel. And then you get someone like my fucking dad who's just like...
You're trying to get whiplash.
Wrenching it. Yeah. Yeah. And then like all the kids get launched out 10 feet.
I haven't looked at a fucking ride that spins since like 2015. Yeah, want nothing to do with it. A single fucking thing to do with it.
But anyways, the carny was was taking a break and Kelly...
Smoking a couple of darts, looking up.
So around, it's usually accepted that the series of events started off around 7 p.m. where Billy Ray, the friend of the family, was taking a bucket out to the well to get some water. Since they didn't have running water, he had to go out to the well. When some type of light was seen to flash overhead in the sky, depending on some UFO researchers and some UFO books, they said that Billy Ray actually saw what he described as some type of craft actually like slowly landing into the woods, like behind the house, like near the house. It was like the light came down, illuminated the woods, and then like sat there, but kind of quickly disappeared, and he didn't really think anything of it, but to run back inside and say that he saw something.
I love the reaction.
I seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says that, and everyone's like, fuck you, Billy, you lying piece of shit. You didn't see nothing. You're so full of shit.
I'll tell you what.
Oh, my God, you'd never believe what I just seen.
I done synced it.
And everyone is like, you're a liar right away.
Yeah, easily. Everybody's like, you're a fucking carny. Shut up. Take your fucking achy breaky heart and go get us some fucking water, you bitch.
Yeah. Just because it's your turn to get water, Billy Ray. We're not going to tell you again.
Yeah, he's trying to, that's what they're thinking. Fucking, where's our water, Billy Ray?
Yeah. Did you fill it up? No, I did. I didn't have time.
I done synced a UFO. Somebody else got to get it now.
From the sky.
Now, technically, it's not my turn anymore because I already came and went. So now somebody else got to get
the
water.
That is some Billy Ray shit. That's what he would do. Right? He's like, happened? Yeah. Technically, I was there 0.5 of a turn. So I can't go again because that would be 1.5, put me out of the rotation.
Makes sense. And then
what's his buddy's like, fuck, I'll go with you. God damn it.
Yeah.
Let's go get some water. I love that. Like every account that I read and listened to, it was like everyone, like when Billy Ray comes back, he's like, fuck you, Billy Ray. You lying piece of shit. You're so full of shit. We hate you.
Slander. The Billy Ray slander on this podcast.
I think, the general consensus within the family at the time was that they kind of shrugged it off as a shooting star or some type of natural phenomenon that he saw. And Billy Ray was just overexcited, seeing something.
As he usually gets.
But soon after, the family actually started to hear their dogs barking like alarmedly at something. Like the dogs just kept barking, like not a normal kind of bark, like a scared kind of bark. And Billy Ray Taylor and Elmer Lucky Sutton decided to kind of go outside, like just noticing the distress, the sounding distress from the dogs.
I'm sorry,
they stepped outside to investigate what was going on.
All the credibility just go out the fucking window with those names.
Yeah.
The names don't
help. Billy Ray and Elmer.
And Lucky Taylor. What?
So they went out there with their trusty 12-gauge shotgun and a 22 pistol to go ahead and take a look at what the dogs were barking
at. Two opposite ends of the firearm spectrum.
I guarantee you.
They wanted to cover like both sides.
I guarantee you they gave Billy Ray the 22. 100%.
Was it a 22 pistol or a 22 rifle?
I'm thinking
a lever action 22. Lever action 22.
Because there's talks about them going through boxes of pistol ammo, and there's talks of them going through rifle ammo. So it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah.
They describe everything they have.
They're going out with an arsenal.
They have a pocket full of bullets, but they're not sure which ones fit. They're fumbling trying to get them in.
It's just like a jumble of bullets. Yeah. Like they pull out
a bunch of different calibers. Like,
yeah. And it's just like trying.
God
to
damn it,
out
Billy Ray, grab the bullet jar. Just grab it.
Grab my lucky bullet jar.
Grab it from the leftover jar. It's just like a bunch of like random assortments of caliber
bullets. They're all misfired bullets too. All twisted.
Break the
and
old
mangled.
Bullet piggy bank. Let's go.
And so they go out there. The two men are surprised and shocked to discover that they see out standing out among the grass these small, what they describe silvery creatures with these large glowing eyes and seemingly spindly limbs approaching out of the darkness. Now, this must be extremely creepy and these things must be illuminated themselves somehow, because you got to remember, like, there's no like electricity at this house.
Yeah, but
like,
there was
there's no
moon.
Exterior lighting.
There was something to do the moon. It was like a fucking, I don't want to say super moon, but I feel like that's wrong on that day.
Right. Everything
was
illuminated.
Somehow
highly reflective or something like that. Yeah. So you'd have just moonlight to see these creatures. Yeah.
But it was pretty, like they said, like it was super visible.
So the two men, not knowing what they were seeing and just alarmed that these creatures were approaching them with some type of intent, you know, whether coming
that's all it takes in the States.
Billy, the shiners will shoot them.
You see that look in his eye? He had some intent in there. I could tell.
I sent it.
He's some goddamn intent.
And they shot these creatures immediately. And what they said happened afterwards
God
was like,
damn it. Shoot him. We don't know who he is. Shoot him anyway.
I tell you what, Billy Ray is coming on to the property. Yeah. Got to shoot him.
They're coming after our tobacco.
It's a shoot first, ask questions later.
I'm going to exercise both of my First and Second Amendment. First off, fuck you. Second, you dead.
They've both fired at these creatures, and they said that if they hit it, they're not quite sure, but these creatures just simply, they describe them making just like flipping backwards and then disappearing back into the night. Like they just
flipping back, like a Jedi flip darkness. Backwards?
Like, well, and something that was acrobatic. Like slow-mo, it kind of seemed like they'd shoot him and they would hit, like look like it hit and it would be like, woo!
And then
would
they hear like a
slow back?
Kind of like a fucking tinging sound when they hit, because they knew they hit it. Like they'd hear like a tinging sound.
Well, they're
like
carnies, right? Metal. They're carnies. They've been playing the little fucking
ding.
Pop
Oh,
king.
The tin shooter, like ding, ding, ding.
He's like, I recognize that sound.
So they do, some of the family members described hearing a sound much like hitting like sheet metal when they fired at these creatures.
I love there's later on when they ask them about them initially shooting, Billy Ray is like, what'd you want us to do? Reach out a hand and shake their goddamn hands? I guess not. Okay.
Could have waved first.
Fair enough.
Going deeper into the description of these creatures, you have these descriptions that they were, you know, these were small creatures. They're not very, very tall, maybe 2 to 4 feet in size. And then this is what kind of led them into the news reports later, the media, to kind of be described as little green men in the media. And then even though
they didn't describe them actually as little green, you know, though.
No, they didn't describe silvers. The more like the silvery color. These creatures were said that like they have a very thin and humanoid appearance. Like their bodies were proportioned in such a way that, you know, they had these slender bodies and these elongated limbs that seemed to kind of like the limbs were seen, at least from the drawings and the artist representations that we have made from the descriptions. It's like their hands kind of hang a little bit lower than you expect them to.
From the descriptions,
kind of like a primate.
Yeah, from the descriptions, they said their legs seemed very stiff when they walked and their arms like almost dragged on the ground, like primate style, like pretty low dragging arms.
Knuckle draggers.
Almost.
Well, I'll see if I pull up a picture here. Like they look like something like this.
Because we'll get to it in a bit, but they all, like there's the different descriptions of the same thing and they're all very similar. Like some of it show it with different features, but.
You see this one on the, like this guy here.
So he's unlike other, like the grays or stuff where they're all super spindly, this guy almost looks like, the description is his shoulders are kind of jacked.
Yeah, he's been in the gym.
Been lifting a bit. Just a bit.
Doing flies. Yeah. Rear delts. All that shit.
Yeah, look at that one right there. He's jacked.
Yeah, he's got some chest on him too. Yeah, right?
That looks like Dan. No, that's Dan.
That's Dan's body shape.
I will say this too, though.
I'm much more blockier. I'm like straight, like block.
This guy's
just
got
like
pecs.
A square on top of two yeah. little toothpicks.
He's got pecs and he's got long arms. That's hard
this
to do.
This one would look more like Dan if it looked like it was riding a horse. With no horse, right? Like
just bow-legged.
Little bow.
I mean, are we sure that Dan doesn't have those ears tucked into his headphones?
I mean, he never takes off his hat, so
we don't know. Yeah.
that specific drawing also captures the description of what they had the skin to look like, this silvery or metallic looking sheen to it on the surface. And then it like Andrew said, it seemed to reflect the surrounding light. So that moonlight that was, you know, I guess they had a
vibrant
lot, you know, vibrant moonlight, a lot of moonlight that time, which kind of made these creatures almost glow is what they were. Like they reflected the light or either like amplified the light of some type, you know, whether it's like, you know, they were like high viz.
Maybe that's part of it though. Like maybe they blind people with that shit. Like maybe that's intentional.
Going on to their heads, big old domes that they had there. They were described as being disproportionately large compared to their bodies. So they had these very large heads with the prominent oversized eyes that seemed to actually glow in the dark, and was one of the things that they, you know, they describe in detail as like all these creatures, because there were multiple ones, that they're just seeing these eyes, if not the creatures themselves, but seeing these glowing pairs of eyes out in the darkness as they moved around.
Well, buddy, that's, just imagine literally everyone- that just goes in like you send that, you have fucking Billy Ray come in the house, fucking obviously bullshit, doesn't want to get the water, fucking Elmer goes out there with them, they bring their guns because the dogs are barking, and now all of a sudden you just hear fucking blasting, you'd be like, what the fuck are they shooting at? I think you'd probably think coyotes, right? Like your first gut reaction if you're sitting in that house, I'd be like, probably some coyotes. No, I'd out there
probably tend to think it was silver-suited, bat-winged fucking aliens. That would probably be my first thought.
That's what your mind goes through right away.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I mean, one of the more disturbing details of these creatures is actually like the way that their hands and arms were shaped, and they described having these three fingered appendages at the end.
Carny hands.
That were
my throng arm.
That were tipped with sharp talons.
Yeah, they
or
look
claws,
like,
and this
they
is
look
what,
like sporks.
All curled up. And that's what the family kind of perceived as being why these creatures were potentially dangerous, that they're having these what they look like claws that could like seriously do some damage. And so made them, you know, naturally feel threatened of
these
creatures.
I feel like they started shooting way before they saw those fucking things.
My sense is that too. It's like my sense is that they're a shoot first, claim alien later.
We're 1955. The laws are pretty pretty thin, I would imagine, at this time. They're probably shooting everything every night.
I feel
anything
like
that moves at nighttime on your
murder,
property, you're shooting
right?
people. Oh, for sure.
Like 1955, you shot somebody at property, then you're just like, whoops.
You're trespassing.
And you bury him. I'm like, they're like, God damn it, he buried the body. We'll never find it. Innocent.
So not only do we have Billy Ray and Lucky firing on these creatures and then them disappearing back into the night, but that would not be the end of what would be going on. You would have what seemed to be like a sustained
you had a goblin siege on this house.
Home.
There was a firefight!
Pretty much, though. Seemed to be surrounded by these little goblins. They're up on the roof. They're on the front porch. They're staring at them.
So they like bail back in the house, shut the door. They're like, oh my God. And they're like, what is it, Billy Ray? They probably ask Elmer. What is it, Elmer? They're sick of Billy Ray shit. He's like, I've got some damn silver monsters. And then all of a sudden there's stuff peeking through the windows. They just start blasting out the windows.
It's like, they like pop their head up at the window and they just shoot right through it. Bang! Yeah. Bing!
Hey guys, can we use your phone or fuck? We got a flat. Bang! No.
Well, and then there was like descriptions too. It was like as they'd peek out of the front, like they were just shooting at these things, like wherever they popped out. And Elmer shot one out of a tree, and it had jumped into a tree, and then he shot it and hit it, and it just kind of floated down to the ground slowly, and then popped up and fucking scooted away.
Yeah, and even at during the course of the night, Taylor, Lucky, and some of the other men would actually go outside again to try and confront these creatures at some point. But when they were actually, what they interpreted as an ambush set by one of their creatures that was actually waiting on the roof as they kind of walked out onto the porch, and they said that one of the creatures like took a swipe at them with its little talon claw before it actually kind of floated away.
Oh, I heard it grabbed on with I heard it grabbed on with its bottom, like with its feet, and kind of like swung down like a gymnast and tried to like swipe at them. That's what I heard.
That makes sense.
I like
that.
swung down all. Yeah. They had like a some type of like, you know, a gutter. And it grabbed onto it and this like a little pendulum.
There's no fucking way. They don't have phones, TVs. They ain't got nothing, but they're fucking got gutters.
They got gutters.
Doesn't blew all the money.
They got gutters. It's fine.
It's funny though. Like through this whole encounter, you know, like they're back flipping away from the gunshots, but obviously like it's not hurting them, as you can tell, because they keep coming back. And then you have one kind of like swipe at the guy's fucking head as they're coming up, but it almost seems like they're like playing with them.
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't seem like they're there to like hurt them, because they would do it. They're
and it
obviously
also doesn't
far
look
more
like
technical.
They are scared at all.
Yeah, like they look like they're like this whole encounter totally reminds me of fucking Gremlins. Like a couple Mogwais get hit with some water after midnight, and now they're just fucking with everything.
You know, I'm pretty sure Gremlins is based off this.
I thought, well, no, isn't E.T. based off this?
I think they
Spielberg. I heard Spielberg got inspiration for it.
Spielberg for E.T. though.
That's what I heard.
So he based, yeah. But Spielberg did Gremlins too, though, didn't he? Which would be weird.
Did he? I don't know.
I don't think
movie history poor. So is there fight? There's fighting. They're pretty much these goblins are fucking with them, seemingly all night.
Yeah, there's a number of descriptions of like the harrowing events that occurred during the night. You had these creatures apparently peering through the windows. The family members claimed that the creatures like repeatedly attempted to try to like look in through the windows and things like this. And that's where they actually
Billy one of Ray's them was like peeking. Not fucking today.
Yeah, pretty much. One of them tried to peer in through like this the screen, one of like the screened off windows, and they took a shot at it right there. And it's like that's one of the pieces of evidence. Yeah.
Every time they hit them too, it sounds metallic.
Like that house must have been fucking pandemonium, right? I bet the kids were all screaming and crying.
Because you had 11 people crammed in here.
Mm-hmm. They described having hearing like scratching at the doors and the walls, like these creatures were attempting to try and get inside the house, like on top of the roof, at the doors, around the windows and things like this. So they were trying to, the family feared that these beings wanted to capture them or like cause them harm of some kind. So which naturally led them to try to defend themselves with firearms.
As you do.
But again, none of these creatures, even when they feel like they would have hit them. You either get this sound of something like hitting either sheet metal, or the creatures just seem to kind of float away if they were hit by one of the rounds from one of the weapons.
Seems like they're wearing something above, like bulletproof vest.
Armor. Yeah. It's the other thing too that kind of dawned on me is I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit more lately, but a lot of people have like accused in the past, like people who think it's possibly a hoax or whatever is accused them of being like drunk hillbillies. But like, this is fucking Bible Belt, Kentucky. Like this was a like staunchly conservative family. Supposedly it was a dry house. It surprises me that they didn't go straight like demons, you know, like, right. Like they look like fucking little demons.
They do.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good description. And I read that too. And I mean, we'll get into some of the accounts because they did have an opportunity. It like there was like a ceasefire for a little bit. they're like, all right, you don't poke your heads out, we won't shoot you. And then like, you know, 45 minutes went by and they're like, holy shit, let's get the fuck out of here, go to Hobsonville, we gotta alert everyone, call the guard, call the police, call the firefighters. They went to Hobsonville, they alerted everyone, they're like, oh, we need help. We're under siege. We're under attack. These things are coming out.
Just picture them all, the entire family hanging off the truck like Beverly Hillbillies. You know, just driving it to fucking town.
Wake up.
Screaming through town. You wake up. I imagine they're like, you're under attack. Did they hurt anyone? Well, no.
No, they didn't. Are they? What are they? They trying to fight you? No. Well, I don't know. They're just looking at us.
Did they not have any neighbors? Could they not have, like,
I mean, all this, I think all the houses are pretty far.
Well,
they have to be.
Yeah. There is some reports of neighbors like contacting police and being like, it sounds like there's going to war.
Yeah. They heard at least some of the gunshots going off during that time. So there were reports that the neighbors could hear them at least far enough away to identify gunfire coming from the Sutton place.
Yeah, so more of the investigation. But so these ETs or little goblins seem to just vanish as quickly as they came, and they made a break for Hopkinsville. They go to the police station to file their report. But just before we get to that, we're going to take a short beer break, and we're going to be right back.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
We're back.
So the whole Sutton, Billy Ray, Taylor, all the kids loaded up. I'm guessing some sort of station wagon. And no, it was zipped to town.
It was a compact hatchback of some type, and they was all crammed in.
A clown car.
Clown car style, yeah.
And, you know, they're zipping in because they're alerting the authorities, right? So they get to, they get into Hobsonville. They're like right away to the police, and they're like, hey, like, this is fucked. We need help.
Yeah, they come screeching in there. They said they came into in quite a state when they arrived to the police station. They're all highly described as being highly agitated and visibly frightened. And yeah, they said, we need help. And then, you know, they kind of over each other yelling that we've been fighting them for nearly 4 hours, like fighting something. You know, the police officers, you know, did their best to kind of keep them.
It was so long.
Well, they, and like the police, like Dan was saying, when they came in, I think it was the police chief, Russell Greenwell, basically stated when they came in, he's like, these people were frightened beyond reason. And like they had, like they were fucking petrified. Yeah. And he also kind of made a comment like, these are the type of people that don't normally run to the police. And something had like frightened them beyond comprehension.
Except for Lucky, they picked him up on a prior.
One of the fucking funny things that I saw on here too, I kind of called a little bit of bullshit, but like one of the police officers supposedly had medical training and he could see Billy Ray's carotid pulse bulging, and he could counted it, that is
just in his mind,
timed his and read like his heart rate to be at least 150.
He didn't even have to touch him,
he could see it apparently. And I'm like, and in my head I'm like, this guy's obviously got like a carotid aneurysm or something, because you should not
it would be
like JVD. I'm like, yeah, like that, no, you don't do that. Like, I'm gonna try that next time I go to work and just walk in and be like, hey,
he's got a pulse around 130,
89 pulse beats per minute there,
yeah.
Normal size. I don't even have to touch him.
Shouldn't you check him?
Monitor, nothing.
No, just look. No, I got it.
Well, I also think from the various stories I've tried to put together, because I mean, this account, a lot of it is associated with like little green men, and no one ever says little green men. Like the accounts are never little green men. So I was always kind of interested where they got that.
Well, they're not green.
And one account that I got was that perhaps this police chief had said that you expect me to believe that there's little green men running around your property. And then it kind of went from that, like from there. And that's where that little green men kind of just stuck. Right. But it's not, it's never been little green men. It's little fucking chrome gnomes.
I mean, like for everything other than the initial sighting of a potential UFO, right? Where he saw that big flash of light come down. This seems way more cryptid than extraterrestrial to me.
If there was none of the precursor of that meteor or whatever came down, I too would be like, this is a cryptid, the Kentucky Silver Monsters.
No, the Hobgoblins.
Oh yeah, the Kentucky Hobgoblins.
Come on.
Yeah, sorry. Fuck, okay. I fucked it up. Kentucky Hobgoblins. Right, but just the impact before says to me extraterrestrial.
That's fair.
Sorry, Kentucky, you got to get another fucking cryptid.
So you had the family come in there and telling their story to the police officers, and then in short order you had like news reporters and the people in the community catching on to these reports that the Suttons were putting in of some type of, you know, being under siege by these tiny silver creatures for, you know, a good chunk of the evening beforehand. The response, like the investigative response to this event, is actually like pretty substantial when you look into it, into the like in the next following days. You had the police who, upon receiving the reports from the family, led by Chief Russell Greenwell, they dispatched officers to the Sutton farmhouse to go look and see, you know, any visible evidence that they could find of this. And the officers just kind of they went out there and searched the property, and then they didn't find any trace of these creatures. I mean, they found things like they found the expended shells and cartridges from the guns that the family had fired in defense against these creatures. But other than that, they didn't find any type of, it's not mentioned that they found anything to actually corroborate that these creatures were of some physical
They found no blood or any, like, right. If you shot one of these, you shot a small creature with a 12-gauge shotgun or something, you'd think there'd be something.
Yeah, you fucking.
But it adds up with the fact that they were like doing backflips and shit, and you could hear like the bullets, like the shotgun pellets, fucking, you know, tanging off.
These fucking rednecks just fucking blew apart their house.
Yeah, the single pane windows and quarter inch plywood, like, covering the walls is getting blown apart.
I don't see it anywhere in the notes, but when I was reading it, it's like, so the police and everybody came back to the scene, to the house, around like 11 p.m., right? And they were there from like 11 p.m. till 2 a.m.
That sounds right.
So you've got all these cops, and it sounds like from all accounts, like the police initially like saw how terrified these people were and were like, okay, holy fuck, we better go see what's going on. So the cops are quite high strung as well. And they were, you know, they're armed walking around, and they heard this loud screeching sound come from the woods. And supposedly one of the police officers like emptied a fucking gun into the fucking darkness.
Oh, I heard he had like almost like a machine gun or something.
Yeah, just like, bah, bah, bah. Like,
this went Jesse Ventura on Predator is what he did. Just mowed down the forest.
I'm wondering, you know, because they heard the screeching sound. At the same time, I'm wondering if maybe it was like more of a major pain where the guy's like, this is bullshit, but you know what? I'm gonna fucking shoot off a whole bunch of fucking bullets. And if they're out there, they ain't happy. All right, now we can go.
But, well, there was like, another account, like there was a shitload of a commotion in the house because one of the military officers stepped on a cat's tail and the cat fucking lost it. And everyone was like so high.
Well,
like,
that's high what strung. They think maybe the screech was that caused the fucking cop to start blasting.
He heard it outside. Yeah. He heard the commotion outside. He just starts unloading in the woods.
Yeah. Well, because everybody's shitting their pants.
It's the middle of the night. It's dark.
Absolutely what I would do.
100% what I would do too. I'd be like, fire a couple off for sure.
And even from early on, you do have actual military involvement in the investigation, because in addition to the local law enforcement, you had military personnel from the nearby Fort Campbell Army base that actually got involved. They had a couple MPs like dispatched that came out there to conduct their own search of the property, looking for any evidence to kind of substantiate what the family had actually, you know, the claims that they had made. But along, like with the police, they weren't able to find anything, you know, no footprints, any of that stuff, or any proof that these things had actually been there. Really, like the only physical evidence that they could find of what the family was talking about was just the bullet holes and the expended shells that the family had, the bullet holes that they had put in their own homes.
They were definitely shooting from inside their house to the outside.
Right.
They knew they could tell that much.
They're like, this place is a fire. It was a dump. Now it is officially a dump.
Now it's just unsafe.
Some of the, Some of the earliest articles that came out about this in the local news, it came out in the local newspapers. So you had like the Kentucky New Era from out of Hopkinsville, Kentucky, which is a local newspaper there. They had an article titled Story of Spaceship 12 Little Men Probed Today, which was published just August 22nd, like the day after the incident happened, like right there, hot off the presses, right there. They had the Courier Journal, which was out of Louisville, Kentucky. They had their story in August 23rd, and they titled it Investigative Report of Little Green Men, which may have been also where the Little Green Men kind of that might have propagated the idea that this is what they had saw, or you know, associated that term with what the Suttons had reported seeing. But the story made it all the way to the national stage, and even made it into the New York Times, where it was actually mentioned in a short little article on August 23rd as well, which was titled "Kentuckians Report Raid by Little Men." Was the title of that. but not only do you have the police, you had the police, the military, the U.S. military involved, but you also had UFO researchers like the early, the early MUFON kind of out there. One of the investigators was Isabel Davis, who was like a well-known and respected UFO researcher at the time for the civilian saucer investigation. So CSI, not CSI Miami, but, you know, I guess... and the other ones. And then when she did some pretty in-depth interviews, you know, right after following the events with the families. And
there was more to the event that we're glazing over too. Cause like once the cops and everyone leaves, like once everyone left, like was I the only one that read that? Like after everyone left, the cops are like, hey, like, listen, we're here. We fucking shot the woods up.
Oh no, they come back. They have a second encounter.
They're like, hey, well, we're going to go now. And they're like, okay, like, yeah, all right. Like, all right, see you later. And then like 45 minutes after everyone clears out, these things just show back up. And for like another 2 hours in the middle of the night at like fucking 2 a.m, they continue to just blasting. Like blast these things like out the porch.
And that leads me to believe that they're like playing with them again, right?
Yeah, toying with them.
Like, yeah, like I don't know.
And I want to add too, when the police were there, again, like you said, you know, conservative, dry house, but even the police said like, you know, because a lot of the theories were like, oh, you know, maybe they're just fucking drunk. A bunch of moonshiners, Kentucky moonshiners just getting wasted. But like all accounts, like no one, like it was a dry house and none of the police officers were like, yeah, these people are fucking wasted. Like no, there was none of that. They were sober. And then, so that would like... they would have been drunk on their asses, hallucinate this, call the cops, sober up real quick from the experience. The cops leave and they're just like, all right, start swigging, get instantly drunk and start battling these things again. Like, you know, it's the worst trip of all time. But yeah, it's interesting because they come back for like 2.5 hours and just torment these people.
Little fucking demons. Acrobatic little demons jumping on the roof.
I mean, but other than the fact that it's like just fucking terrifying, they got out pretty good. Like nobody got taken. Nobody got abducted. Nobody got hurt. There's no injuries.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, no, yeah. They didn't actually, yeah. Like, even though they seemed threatening, they never actually got them in any way.
I don't know what kind of insurance you need.
How threatening were they though? Like other than like that one swipe and like popping in the fucking windows and doing backflips and shit and like clawing at the roof. It's like, it's literally like, they're like, this is a game to them. They're having fun. They're like, see how terrified these people are. And they're purposely trying to fucking get a rise out of them because they're having fun with it.
It does definitely seem that way to me that it doesn't have malicious intent of they're like trying to harm these people other than they're just like seem genuinely interested in fucking with them.
Yeah.
Little pucks. That's what they are.
Little pucks?
Yeah, from Shakespeare. Right? Puck's the one that fucks with people, right?
I think it's like puck wedgies.
But yeah, like I mentioned before, I think most of the interviews that we have were from Isabel Davis, and Isabel Davis like kind of found the families to be genuinely credible from their, when she interviewed them, she felt that, you know, in her conclusion was that the witnesses were sincere and they were genuinely frightened by something that had happened, that the experience that they had had, that something had actually just kind of driven them to that point of near hysteria, where they had seen something and then enough to like get the whole family on edge and, kind of freak out over this. Like it's, but that's all they really have is they have to go is on the experiences of the reports of the family. There wasn't really any physical stuff that was left behind, that these creatures, that they were shot or they, you know, if they had experienced any type of discomfort from being taken a 12 cage.
No, they had some type of armor
to the chest or anything, nothing. And everything was kind of just as it was. The only things that really indicated that there had even been a shootout, you know, that the family had defended itself were just the bullet holes left
and the other, in the house. The other interesting thing to me is that there's 11 people in the adults and children involved in this incident. And all the interviews with police, UFOologists, and everyone... Everyone's accounts line up perfectly. The only persons whose account is always a little extra are our boy Billy Ray. Right? Billy Ray can't help but add a couple of extra details.
A little bit of sugar.
I'll tell you what, just add a little spice.
Yeah.
Make it a little spicy, you know?
Right? So he's kind of like known, and we knew that from the top of the story when he comes in to tell it. Everyone's like, fuck you, but you're full of shit, Billy Ray. So it's like you have 10 other people that their accounts are strikingly similar to the point where you're
very
like...
Very little variation.
Yeah, and you're like, okay. Well,
and there was a bunch of people who corroborate seeing like a meteor shower that night too. They saw that fucking big flash in the sky.
Right, so you have corroborating evidence. What I'm saying is like, it was 10 people. I feel like a cop, especially with kids involved, if a cop is questioning people or questioning kids or even just an interviewer, I feel like you would very easily be able to, like, if they were full of shit, I feel like with that many people, you could just pick it apart and be like, nah, there's not a chance. Right. But the only person that people are like, ah, Billy Ray's full of shit. Like that's what it is.
Kearney? Yeah, but if he was full of shit though, then yeah, you can't, he would have had to somehow get everyone else on board on if it was a hoax, let's say.
Well, no, everybody was bought in. That's the thing. Like
Billy Ray's account is just extra. Like if someone says they shot twice, Billy Ray's like, I shot 80 times. They're right. Like, no, you didn't. And he's like, I think I did. Like he's just a fucking bullshitter. Not like he can't help himself.
Before Dan gets into theories here, have you guys heard of the I think it's a docuseries called Hellier?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. So basically, summarize quick. In 2012, a group of paranormal investigators got an email from a man living in a town that kind of like bordered Kentucky and West Virginia. And in the email, he kind of describes the fact that his family has been being harassed by a group of creatures at night and described them with big ears, 2 to 4 foot tall, long arms, oily black eyes, and kind of like a leathery skin. Daughter kind of describe them as hairless children. Mm. You know, like what are these hairless children doing running around my window at night? And like guy is kind of plagued with these issues for months on months and writes to these investigators and they end up kind of putting together the fact that like this is very close to the Kelly Hopkinsville situation. So they do decide to come down and investigate this. And this guy kind of shows them, you know, the areas where he chased them down and he chased them down to an old mine shaft. And it, so apparently like this Kentucky and all these areas, they have that. Have you ever heard of the Mammoth Cave System?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is like the longest cave system in the world, 420 miles of underground caves. And a lot of people think that these gremlins are from those caves.
The descent.
Or these goblins are from, right?
It's the descent.
And they've been living like, I mean, is it that unheard of for there to be something down there that we have no idea?
Well, in those, I'm pretty sure in those caves, there's like whole ecosystems that only exist in those caves. Like there's only animals just found in those caves, only insects just found in those caves.
Well, me and Dan talked about one. What was the one, the fucking, the one in the mine with the fucking light head creatures?
Oh, the, the American Kaiju. I forget.
Yeah, I can't remember. We talked about it on the confidential, but like
in, something visitor. I can't remember.
And they fucking sealed the mine shaft off to like block these things in. And you know, that's an interesting.
That thing was huge though. That one was way larger.
But I'm just saying, there's other accounts.
But it makes sense for little things becoming from the cave systems, right?
Digging too deep.
But that's an interesting.
But these are natural caves, right?
Well, that's that kind of brings me a good idea of like maybe the we're giving too much stock in the meteor that he saw. Maybe what he saw was just a meteor, and knowing fucking Billy Ray, like let's just put it in this perspective that Billy Ray, it's a coincidence
that he saw the meteor at the same time.
It's just a coincidence. He's a bullshitter. We know he's a bullshitter. Everyone thinks he's a bullshitter. So maybe he saw a meteor and just bullshitting Billy Ray is like, oh my God, I saw the meteor. It came down right out in the dang old forest over there. Oh my God, you won't believe. They're like, get the goddamn water, Billy Ray. And just so happens, coincidentally, these things are coming up through like a hole in the woods. Right at that time. And so we've by accidentally put these things together when they haven't come from above, but they've come from below.
So you're talking, it's like the old correlation doesn't mean causation kind of thing. Like, oh, you've seen a meteorite, right? But these things are actually coming from this cave system.
Well, because that's an interesting thought. I'm like, you know, and when you tie it with that,
intraterrestrials.
Like, yeah. Ooh, I like that.
From the earth, they come. Makes more sense that there's a civilization that's advanced with us and they've never come to the surface.
These little night goblins, like they're nocturnal, they only come out. Like, what are the odds you see in them, right? Like, especially if there's only so many in this cave system,
right? Just enough for a breeding population.
And maybe what we were talking about, maybe there is correlations to other parts of the story, right? Like with the, you know, the supermoon or something. Because the accounts that I read, that it was lit up quite a bit that night. So maybe it's one of those things that these things come out at that time because they can see better. Maybe they see so in such low light conditions that like they only come out at like maybe like a supermoon brings them out. Like, I don't know. I'm grasping at straws here, but I'm saying that maybe there's other connections that we're not making these things being from the earth.
This is their version of some type of rite of passage for their civilization. You got to venture to the surface and fuck with the humans for one night and venture back.
Well, if you want to get your goblin gang patch, your hobgoblin patch, you got to go fucking.
You got to complete the night mission.
Pester the humans. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we don't really explore inside the planet or at the bottom of the oceans very much. Like, we've only explored like a
just crazy a
portion
to me.
Of very small percentage.
It's
nuts. Well, it's scary.
It's too dark.
Yeah, but so is space. Space is way scarier than anything on Earth.
I know, but it's hard. It's almost. It's like harder to go to the bottom of the ocean than it is to go to out of atmosphere.
What are you talking about? We got directors doing it. James Cameron.
There's only been a few people get to the bottom, like two, and there's way more people have gone to space. I mean, they haven't gone out of like.
What was the Avatar guy?
James Cameron. Yeah, so he went to the bottom of Mariana's Trench, whatever it is, like 13 kilometers down.
Challenger Deep. But he also made Terminator, so he's a badass. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
He can do whatever he wants at this point.
He did.
He should just take...
He's making four more Avatar
movies. He should take a loan out against Avatar 3 and then spend all that money and don't even do the movie. Just do something cool.
I didn't even see Avatar.
Take $1 billion and just do something really cool.
Thereby.
I didn't see it either.
All right, I'm still waiting for him to make the next Aquaman with Vinny Chase. That's what I'm fucking waiting for.
The Aquaman we all wanted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the one of the most common things that people say about this case, they're like, ugh, these poor old carnies. They just didn't know that it must have been a flock of great horned owls peeking in the windows.
And backflipping.
They just mistakenly thought.
Everybody knows great horned owls are bulletproof.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you don't get the title great for no reason.
That's fair.
Like, to me, I'm like, I guess like...
The size is right.
The size is right. They got glowing eyes.
They got big ears. Looks like ears, right?
Yeah, they can look weird. Those tufts. But I'm like, these motherfuckers were shooting at them. And guess what? Great horned owls, I don't think, stick around and come back for more.
Seems a little too...
They can be fairly aggressive when they're defending their territories or like nesting areas.
But are they sieging people's houses? Is that's the question?
I mean,
Well, I mean,
I've never disturbed a great horned owl. Yeah. But we've talked about how some.
Hey, listen,
owls,
a great horned owl killed talking. Michael Peterson's wife. Got away with it, right? So
they look like Dan. You're about to say they look like aliens. The babies.
They do.
They do. They a bit, like mm-hmm. A young mm-hmm. like a baby yeah. owl looks like an yeah. alien gray.
They're pretty.
They're
creepy
super again. Creepy. Yeah, like, if you have never looked it up, search baby up, owl baby. Versus alien gray, great. And you will see born. The similarities are right there.
Yeah. That know, being said, though, that's not what was described.
No,
like they looked the like alien grays, but they didn't describe alien no, grays
with the ears and like the weird, like the yeah. the jack shoulders and the long arms and the stiff legs. There's a.
If anything, that looked more like an adult gray, great horned owl.
Like if it had its feathers out, like I've seen, you know, some owls. I don't know if it's great horned ones specifically. Will put on like
no, those
like
those
a,
are not
like a
good.
Threat display. Like the ones where they kind of like spread their that's feathers
not,
that's out.
That's not,
to, like,
not the one I'm thinking of.
No, go baby great horned owl. I don't baby know why owl, I put alien. Cute. Yeah, put alien in there. That's what I did.
Yeah, you gotta get right the alien up. One. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
those
yeah.
ones.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
When they're like, yeah, when they're fresh, feet. They're like white. They still have the fluffy white hair.
Yeah.
Giant okay. almond eyes.
Yeah, they make me feel really uncomfortable yeah, for whatever do. Reason.
But like, it's
fucking to Kentucky say, Fried Chicken, like, those motherfuckers.
But like, that account with what they say happened, I'm like, that doesn't make any fucking sense to me. Now, the theory that I love, that I think is the best theory for these things, forget the owl, stupid.
Forget aliens, forget
there's
the owls.
A legit theory that what these things were carnival monkeys that had been shaved bald and spray painted silver, and they actually broke out from the carnival, the
traveling carnival.
Yeah, wouldn't you if they're fucking shaving you and spray painting you right? silver, I'd get the fuck out
they're
of there
they're running
too.
Through the woods and they happen to roll around in some bioluminescent fungi, which is why they were glowing.
It reminds me of that, the fucking, X-Files, Simpsons episode
yeah.
where fucking old Monty's running around fucking, I love you or whatever.
But I was like, that's like, cause someone saw, I guess in a carnival, like near Hopkinsville around this time that someone had done that to some monkeys, shaved them and painted them silver. And they're like, that's gotta be what this is. And I'm like, there's what? No fucking way.
Well, this is the way they're fucking with the people though. But again, monkeys aren't bulletproof.
And it's like, yeah. and they rolled in bioluminescent fungi. I'm like, okay, come on here.
If they're shaved though, what color is a monkey's skin? It's probably light. So in the nighttime, yeah, with the light out, maybe they kind of look like they're glowing if they have a flashlight
well,
or whatever.
Well, they're painted silver.
There you go. So the shape of them, how they're described with like the jack shoulders that are long with the stiff legs,
yeah,
that's how a monkey walks yeah. around. And then there was another description. They said when they went to move on their arms, they were much more agile.
Oh.
So when they like jump that back, they like monkey-ish. Swing. So they're, because monkey, they're great on two legs. They can run pretty good, but they don't have the
and
same hips as humans.
It kind of out to like, yeah, out to like, swing from the gutter to grab it. Takes a swipe, yeah, swipe at him.
What are we talking here though, boys? Like, step right up. See the amazing shaved, naked, silver painted monkey.
No, they probably see, step up and see the alien. Why? See the aliens. Yeah. Real live alien gray captured right here, right from Roswell. Like,
yeah, I don't think there was a lot
feel
of
like
PETA
old
going
Billy Ray
on back
Cyrus
then.
Would know because he would have saw him at work.
I'm just saying the description of the of this little 3 foot it kind
right.
of is kind of
you're
like a monkey,
right?
Like the long yeah, jacked arms, right. big shoulders.
It was a rival carnival game.
No, yeah. against the real game.
Had a vendetta against Lucky or something. Just wanted to mess with
no,
them.
No, what I think it was is Billy Ray wasn't nice to the monkeys in the carnival, so he's poking at Prada. Right.
They tracked him.
They
down.
Got out and they came for him.
Well, he's the one that shaved them and painted them.
Right? And they're like, oh, we're going to get you. Then they came out and they're roaming the countryside looking for old Billy Ray.
All of a sudden, you got a fucking bald silver Caesar coming for him.
He's just in the woods pointing at the house. All the little monkeys are going.
Oh, fuck.
Hey, it's not that outrageous of a theory.
And then
they're like,
I mean,
oh, we hit them. Maybe they
just
suck at shooting. Like, maybe they're just bad. It's dark out. They can't aim. They just miss. They're miss and they hit a rock.
They gotta hit a piece of sheet metal just sitting out. In
no,
the
they call
something.
It sheet metal
everywhere. There's just metal everywhere in the yard. It's all just fucking old tractors and cars. So every time they shoot, they think they hit some. Ping. Bing.
It's not every time they shot.
There could
be
coffee cans out there. They could be anything out there. Like it just, they could just hit something by accident.
Where did people take their trash in the 50s?
Front yard.
In their fucking yard or off to the side, just like down the hill. Dump it. Who cares?
Yeah, then burn it.
Burn it. There's trash everywhere. They probably are target practicing all the time. They probably have fucking tin cans hanging from all the trees in their front yard. So they just shot and they randomly would hit one here and there. And like, they must be wearing bulletproof vests. I don't know. I'm just saying that the description of the monkey is quite similar. The owl? Not.
The owl's absurd.
I mean, the wings are different than, like, did he have wings or did he have arms that hung to his feet? really different.
There is argument to make. What's the grandma? What's the grandma's name? Do you remember the grandma's name? There's a grandma in the story. I can't remember her name now.
Laney or something like that.
Langford?
Everyone said,
talking about Glennie? Glennie Langford?
Maybe Glennie.
That's it.
And everyone's like, this lady is not a bullshitter. And she accounts for two creatures. Which then
creatures,
and which then kind of like people say that like because they saw them sporadically, that you could make a case that there was only ever two of these things, because they never saw like a group of them. They were seeing them. Oh, there's one. There's one. There's one. But the most they ever saw at one time was two, which then goes to the theory of like if these things are coming up from underground, like if this is some sort of small group of creature, then maybe like there is limited number, right? This is why we haven't found them. They're deep in the cave systems, nocturnal, only come out so often, right? Bulletproof.
Bulletproof or this super agile, and they have such quick reaction time that just the slight pressure of the trigger, they're already dodging before you even actually pull it.
The weird part is, it's like they don't, it's not like they try to or convey a message, anything. So they are very like creature-ish, where it's like they're, to believe this is some sort of intelligent creature, you feel like they would be able to convey some sort of message or have something like this. Does seem very animalistic to me, like cryptid.
What about fey folk?
Yeah. I mean,
they fuck with people all the time. It's what they do.
I'm actually starting, like, as we were like talking about this more and more, I was really on the alien side. And I think now I'm changing it. I'm like, I think what we have here is a cryptid, because the only account of these things coming from the sky is Billy Ray. And Billy Ray is dirty carny. Yeah. Right. So I don't think I believe a word he says in this account. If you take his account out of it, the only thing that changes is the meteor falling from the sky. Everyone else kind of has the same account. To me, it's like, you know, I'm leaning toward this is a cryptid encounter now. I'm flipping. This is not little green men aliens from up above. This is little silver gnomes, little goblins from some sort of cave system.
The mammoth cave system.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've played Skyrim. I know what the Falmer are.
Yeah. And I mean, them fucking with them, like, because it does feel like, Andrew, you're totally, you hit it right on the head. Like, it feels like they're fucking with them, and fey folk do that. Like, all through history, we know that. Like, that's a thing that happens. So is this fey folk just fucking with them? Man, interesting.
I like that. So either aliens fucking with them, someone's fucking with them just for fun, because they're not harmful. Whatever it is.
No. Harmful. We were right aggressive with them.
Shoot first, ask later. Yep. The human way. They're trying to provide us with the secrets to nuclear fusion and shot at them first.
No, we don't want it.
They're trying to teach them the secrets of fucking 22 bullets in their ass.
And they thought that the best way to convey that message is Hopkins or
Kelly. Wait, it's Kelly. It's right at the railroad.
Kelly, Kentucky.
The long and too nasty.
Living in rural Kentucky is the best way to convey that message for nuclear fusion.
If anyone
sustainable power
is listening,
renewable energy.
From Kentucky.
And then they just turned it into moonshine.
If we have any Kentucky fans, Let us know if it's still called The Long and the Nasty. Secondly, okay, the other thing that I was kind of thinking before we go is, and I know the police said they didn't seem drunk or anything, but part of me always was kind of curious if they got dosed with something, because a lot of times when people do DMT, they see like the metallic elves.
The machine elves, yep.
Machine elves, right? And I'm like, when I'm looking at this description, I'm like, is this like, could this be like some sort of low dose, like DMT that they got from something, like, and they're, and potentially they are tripping? Like, can we
think about the timeline? This is 1955. When was MK Ultra? That's like, was like 52 or 53.
Been the roots of it right here.
This was just, this was just a test.
Oh, it's like the whole family.
That's why they had
spiked?
Such a military present. That's why they had such a military presence.
You know, I kind of wondered why presents. The military would show up so fast. And we didn't even kind of get into that. And that would make sense if it was like, they're just there to dose them and then check it out. Right. They're trying to make contact with the machine elves. Capture them.
Interesting. So they're dosing, low dosing country folk. Cause they would be the least.
Well, it's isolated. It's easy to fucking, yeah.
Yeah, like for them to get anywhere, they got to take the long and the nasty, right?
And then what does everybody do once they start going crazy? Everybody just makes
fucking
fun of
crazy.
Stupid hillbillies. Yeah.
You're out your mind. I like that, actually. I mean, if they didn't, they're not on, there was no, because when they did the investigation, they didn't find like sort like any alcohol or signs of like heavy drinking or any drugs. No. So low dose, they're all drinking water. Fucking little sprinkle in there. Like, it's the water's from a well, though, here. So you have to get a little closer. There's no way they have running water to the house in 55.
No,
so you have a well or a stream. So how are you getting the drugs in them?
I don't know.
Carny food. Brought home a bag of popcorn.
Poison in the well.
Bag of popcorn. Inside each of those kernels.
Poison in the well.
Just a little bit of acid. Are we too early for MKUltra? Is the 50s too early?
No, it was like 52 or 53.
That's when it started.
Yeah,
like, was it even called MK Ultra at this point, though? I don't remember. No. It's been so long since we talked about it.
Is it still Artichoke?
It's like, so the initial tendrils of the mind control experiments.
We're just starting.
Hey, I mean, if everyone's on drugs, no one's on drugs because no one knew they're on drugs. So they didn't know. They had no idea. They're witnessing something altogether.
And it wouldn't be that uncommon to have a group hallucination, I don't think, if you're all there describing what you're seeing. You kind of manifest it together.
If you're on a mushroom trip with your boys, you all kind of are experiencing the same thing.
Yeah.
Someone says something and you don't see it right away and they're like, oh yeah, I do see it. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
They put that conscious thought in your thought and then next thing you know, inception.
You're on the same level.
All right. Well, let us know what you think. Is it a cryptid? Is it a hallucination? Is it a great horned owl?
What is
the thing? What you thought?
Is it a monster from the deep abyss of the cave system nearby?
Mammoth
cave system. Whatever it is, someone's fucking with them. The government?
Yeah.
Intraterrestrials? Fae folk?
I like intraterrestrials. That's what I'm going with.
I do too.
They just emerge once in a while just to fuck with people. That's fun. Kind of fun case. It's funny that we talked about that so long ago, briefly.
Yeah.
We did alien encounters.
Just glossed over.
Did UFO encounters, and we all did one, like a 10-minute story, and that was Dan's, like way, like 7 years ago almost.
Well, I think it's one deserving of a, like.
It is. I think
they have a fucking Little Green Man Festival and shit in Hobsonville now.
We've mentioned that other times. Dan said we've used it in intros and stuff, but we should do a true case file, and then we kind of forgot about it for years.
And I'd say it's like one of the most popular, like one of the more popular UFO cases for sure.
Little pranksters, whatever they are. Acrobatic as fuck too. Backflips on the roof. Happen. All right. Do we have? Oh, we're not. You know what? We're not going to do theory of the week this week. I'm going to do something different.
Let's do it.
There's a couple things that have changed since I become a father, and illness in children is one of them. So one of the theorites has been going through a long battle with his daughter Sloan LePage. She had a brain tumor a couple years ago, and she's gone through multiple treatments and surgeries. And unfortunately, life's not fair. So this week, I'm going to dedicate the episode to Scott LePage, his wife, in memory of his daughter, Sloan LePage. It's terrible, man. Life's not fair. We're sorry, brother. It's not fair, man. If you want to help out Scott, help out the family. She loved the zoo, and they're gonna dedicate a bench in the Calgary Zoo. I'll put the link to the GoFundMe. If you want to drop a dollar or two, it's totally up to you. Sucks, man. And if there's anything we can do, let us know. Because once you become a parent, yeah. I mean, child illness is always terrible. But I could only imagine what you and the wife are going through. And
can't.
Sorry, man.
We're here for you.
Reach out. And on that note, we're not even going to do Patreons because...
No,
that's it, man. No, this episode's for you.
Find the show notes. Yeah. Let's get that bench and keep those eyes on the skies.
See you in after hours.
And tell your friends and family you love them.
Give them a hug. Give them a kiss.
Peace, everybody. Peace.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.